some thoughts today about standing against the culture.
We can put all the cares that we have and the anxieties that we anticipate, we can leave them in His hand and cast them on Him by prayer. So in that way, we can proceed into the work.
On the feature today, you can listen in on a devotional presented at last week's ARPA board meetings in Port Colborne, Ontario. In the news, more disturbing details are out now about Alberta's transgender education policies. Another update on the federal government's approach to the Carter decision on doctor-assisted suicide. More evidence from Quebec on why we do indeed need a law on abortion. And we talked to somebody who's created 100 entries in ARPA's Booties for Babies campaign.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
Some more disturbing details out now about the government of Alberta's plans for education. The province released a set of guidelines earlier this month on how it expects schools to treat so-called transgendered students. ARPA Executive Director Mark Penninga says this is troubling stuff.
On my first read through the guidelines, I counted 23 ways in which they explicitly violate our Christian faith or undermine our fundamental freedoms. For example, students have the right to be called by whatever name they want and to choose pronouns associated with their gender identity. And of course, that can change as the student desires. Maybe even more startling than that, the student has the sole right to determine their own identity separate from the parents. The schools may not even talk about a student's gender identity or expression with their own parents without that student's permission.
What's really worrisome about this, Mark says, is that it's being applied across the board. Parents who send their kids to Christian schools should not expect to somehow be exempt.
There's no choice. The school's principled beliefs about sexuality or parental authority is irrelevant. I don't think there's any hope that private schools, Christian schools, will be exempt from these guidelines as they're stated. In fact, the guidelines make it very clear that they apply to charter schools and private schools.
On last week's program, ARPA lawyer Andre Schutten talked about the notion that at the end of the day, the whole issue could end up in court. Mark says that's possible, but only as a last resort.
Judging from the tone of the letter that the Minister of Education sent to all the schools with these guidelines, it seems very unlikely that this government is going to change their mind. So what we need to do is pray. We need to plead for a softening of hearts. We also need to get in touch with them. If you live in Alberta, talk with your MLA. Plead with them to understand the huge violation that this is, violation of our fundamental freedoms. If you live in other provinces, keep your eyes wide open. It's very well likely that people will be advocating for similar laws in your province. Let's do what we can to be proactive to stop this while we still can.
In other news, the federal government has now signaled its next move in the issue of doctor-assisted suicide. ARPA lawyer Andre Schutten says they've appointed a parliamentary committee to study the issue.
It's a special joint committee, so that means there's senators and members of parliament on the same committee. The makeup of the committee is a majority Liberals, as any committee would be in a majority government. So that will determine, in some sense, the outcome as well.
And that report, written by a select committee of experts appointed by the previous government, it was released late last week. We link to it from the Lighthouse News homepage. Andre's hoping the new parliamentary committee will have a close look at that document.
That report will probably form some of the basis of the work of this committee, but there's no guarantee that they'll limit themselves to it.
One other thing on this, and it goes to the effectiveness of ARPA's work on the file. ARPA's positions and recommendations are cited about a dozen times in that select committee report, and there was also a demonstration last week of just how busy the Ottawa office has been on this file.
Last month, ARPA did a lot of lobbying on the Hill on the question of euthanasia. In fact, we did so much that the lobby register has listed ARPA as the number one lobbyist in December. So no other lobby organization has registered as many meetings as we did for that month. That just means that our supporters can know that ARPA is hard at work last month and going into this year, lobbying as much as we can on this issue.
The parliamentary committee is expected to release its recommendations within 4 to 6 weeks. Last week saw the release of a very disturbing new report on late-term abortions in Quebec. We Need a Law's Mike Schutten says the study came out of the University of Montreal.
They analyzed more than 12,000 infant deaths in the province of Quebec between 1986 and 2012. And the study concluded that the number of infants who were born alive and died after an abortion jumped from 1 per 100,000 in the years 1986 to 1999 to 19.5 per 100,000 between 2000 and 2012. These accidental, they call them accidental live births, totaled 218 babies. So this is another one of those situations where we're finding out that late-term abortions are occurring more frequently in Canada, and they are resulting in babies not perishing during the abortion, but being born alive and then simply left to die.
Juden says this latest document again shows the need for some kind of legislative protection for the unborn.
There's no way that we should be allowing abortions, legal abortions, to children who could survive if they were born and lived outside of the womb. And that's exactly what we're seeing now. And it's high time that our political leaders ceased to view preborn children as a political liability and took steps to protecting them.
Mike has written an op-ed on the report for the website lifenews.com. We link to it from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. And finally,
it's a great excuse for avoiding laundry and dishes. But no, I mean, if I sit down for 10, 15 minutes during the day, I can whip up one or two booties. And then in the evening when I'm done my work or whatever, then I can sit down for a bit, watch a bit of TV, and do it then.
That's Jessica Wiersema. She's a young mom who lives in Barrhead, Alberta, about 90 minutes northwest of Edmonton. And she's crocheted 100 pairs of baby booties for ARPA's Booties for Babies campaign. When the project started, a lot of folks figured it would mostly appeal to the older generation. Young moms like Jessica aren't perceived as being into this kind of crafty stuff, but she says this is something she could really get her teeth into.
It's my way of contributing. I'm terrible at writing the letters and getting involved politically, but this is something I can do and that I am able to really contribute to.
And Jessica says folks who aren't into crocheting or knitting can still help out with this project.
The knitters and crocheters out there, they're doing the best they can, but for the non-knitters and non-crocheters, what I would say is you can offer to pay for shipping. My sister did that for me. Also, yarn is not all that cheap. You can offer to pay for yarn.
The booties will be delivered to federal MPs and senators during the God and Government Conference in Ottawa in May, and then donated to crisis pregnancy centers across the country. More details, if you're interested, at the ARPA webpage. Back with more after this.
ARPA has produced a small interactive slider that is meant to help your MP understand that even with the strictest safeguards, innocent people will die when assisted suicide is legalized. You may have received one at our fall events or with our recent mail donor update. Please be sure to fill it out with a personal message, put it in an envelope, and send it free of charge to your MP today. If you would like more, please email us at info@arpacanada.ca.
And we're back on the program. The ARPA board and staff met for their annual meeting in Port Colborne, Ontario last week. One of the presentations at the meeting was a devotional from Reverend William Den Hollander from Binbrook, Ontario. The devotional was themed on 1 Peter 5. I'll read a few of the verses that Reverend Den Hollander referenced in his devotional. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxieties on him. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you.
The Apostle Peter is addressing people who, in a nutshell, are suffering. Suffering in the midst of this world. In fact, we are becoming more and more people like that, living in a time in which perhaps also among us, suffering will be increasing. The times in our country are not getting any better. The spirit, the norms, the values, they have all changed drastically, and with the change of government, that is the case even more. So in that kind of setting, it would be very encouraging to hear Peter address people who are suffering. He says, "You know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." So he is addressing here people that are living in the midst of the world, and he labels them in verse 1 of chapter 1 as strangers. In the course of the epistle, you will find out that they have become strangers because Yeah, they are different from the world's. They have become strange in the eyes of the people. They have been treated as strangers as well because they were no longer acting the way other people were, especially since their conversion was so far-reaching. They lost a lot of friends, but also given the Roman society in the Greek world in which they were living, also in that sense they experienced the effects of being strangers. So in that kind of setting, Peter is addressing them in regards to their suffering. Throughout the epistle, he speaks about that suffering, but also in the context of suffering for Christ's sake. And not only that, also suffering like Christ suffered. At the end of chapter 2, it speaks about Christ. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And that's also Peter's advice, his exhortation to entrust yourself to God. And also encourages the people to humble themselves under God's mighty hand. And that's my New Year's wish for you too, that as you proceed in your work, as you encounter this type of treatment yourself as well, insults and rejection, then humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. And that expression itself already, God's mighty hand, is very richly filled and connoted in the scriptures. Namely, God's mighty hand in the Old Testament is the hand of deliverance, is the hand of salvation. It's the hand which has delivered the people of Israel time and time again. You find it back in the Psalms. You find it back in Exodus. The mighty hand of God, we need to humble ourselves under it, or as it could also be expressed, you have to make yourself small in the mighty hand of God. Cast all your anxiety on him. Don't walk around with it. Don't take it along all the time. But realize that that mighty God whose hand lifts us up also is the mighty God who cares for you. And then it is another feature of this epistle that Peter constantly advises them to be sober, to be self-controlled, to be realistic. And that's an interesting observation when you consider that normally people in the world would say, be realistic. You know, what you people are doing is just out of this time. It's obsolete. It's from the past. It's archaic. The whole way of thinking that you have is old-fashioned. But Peter says, be sober. You have to be realistic. And you have to know what's really going on in this world. For the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And that's really Peter's focus. You are suffering for a little while. It is a little while in comparison to the eternity that is awaiting you. So he will restore you in due time. He will repair you, it says literally, and make you strong. So don't seek it in yourself. Don't rely on yourself. Also, don't do it for yourself, because Peter concludes then that passage by saying, to him be the power forever and ever. We are in this work. We are going to discuss the strategy, the tactics, the approach for the honor and glory of God. And that should be our focus. And as we proceed in the work and the suffering may perhaps increase, then we may know we are not alone in it. Not only that others are suffering, but we are not alone in it, because we are being lifted up by God's mighty hand, and we can put all the cares that we have and that we might worry about, the anxieties that we anticipate, we can leave them in his hand and cast them on him by prayer. So in that way, by prayer and being sober, we can proceed into the work, because sober people keep praying and praying people remain sober.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next month for another edition of Lighthouse News.